And that makes us family. Family's willing to fight for each other. Family's willing to die for each other. Let's go, AU!
Chris Davis is going to drop back.
War Eagle, this is War Bloggle with War Bloggle Podcast, episode number 21. We're 5 weeks into 2025. I challenged myself, gave myself a New Year's resolution, Bloggle related, that I would do a podcast every week, release them on Friday. We're 5 for 5 so far. 5 out of 52. That's almost 10% for you math majors out there. So keep on me. I will do this as long as nobody wants me to. So, let's jump into it. Basketball is obviously the big show right now, unless you're a big Senior Bowl fan or a East-West Shrine Bowl fan, which happened last night. Thorne played the whole second half at quarterback. Rivaldo caught a pass, but he looked like he got hurt. Darren Bates was one of the coaches on the winning team. The East won like 25-0. Thorne looked all right. I mean, his team dropped a lot of passes. He had some long runs because nobody was open. But anyway, let's get to basketball. Last week or Saturday, Auburn beat Tennessee. The more I look at this, and if you're, again, you can watch this on YouTube, and I have some visual aids, just pictures. But the picture right now is Dylan Cardwell very happy after something, and Chad not looking really happy. I don't know what happened. But, the more and more I look at the standings, Tennessee is 4-4 in the SEC now. I'll look at the standings in a little bit, but it was a big game. They play good defense. It's kind of been known as the top two teams in the SEC over the last 5 or 6 years. Yes, you can throw Alabama in there a little bit, but the top two teams for the last few years. So it was kind of seen as like, a mid-season championship game for the SEC. And it was obviously very ugly, very defensive, very grind it out, whatever. And Auburn led for a lot of the game. Tennessee led by a little bit, 5 or 6 points here or there. And then obviously it came down to Miles Kelly hitting a big three in the corner after Janai kind of fumbled, or he got blocked or fouled or whatever, and then threw it out to the corner and Miles Kelly hit it. And then Tennessee ran a play for a three-pointer. They missed it, whatever. I don't want every single podcast to be about officiating, but I know we care a lot more because Auburn's number one. I guess we would care about the same if Auburn was like number 18 and just couldn't get over the hump and they're good, but they can't get up there. But officiating, and I'll talk about it in the LSU game too, it's just too inconsistent. That's all it is. That's all it is. I say this every time. I coach a lot of baseball. Umpires are bad sometimes. But all we ever really argue for, all we ever really want, is that for them to be consistent. If they've got a terrible high strike zone, be that way the whole time and the players can adjust. But if you are in the first half calling the game soft and the second half calling it real tight, that's not fair. That's not real. And I don't, people love to say, oh, that's not fair. That's not real. That's against the rules technically. You are changing the game. You're changing the way the game is called. Because if you're going to tell the players through your calls what a foul is in the first half and then completely change it, how are they supposed to play the game? I mean, and there have been astronomically amounts of close games this year in the SEC. I mean, it's like there's hardly ever a blowout. I mean, they might end up being a blowout in the last 3 minutes, but there's hardly ever a blowout. So to me, and I talked about this a little bit last week, you can't tell me that the refs are slightly, subconsciously affecting the way these games are going. Subconsciously. I'm not saying anybody's cheating. Although I did see a tweet yesterday that there's some lawsuit or investigation, I guess, into point shaving or fixing games, mostly in the NBA, but I think they said some in college. To be honest, I think Chad Baker-Mazzara might be in on it with the way he's been throwing the ball up as he flies through the lane, not even attempting to score. No, I'm just kidding. But Chad Baker-Mazzara, we'll talk about him in a second. But he's I love him. I do. He's one of those players that every other team hates, which makes me like him. But I'll talk about him in a second. But, yeah, Tennessee game, I mean, yes, it was a big game. It's a big win. It's huge. but they're in the middle of the SEC now. Let me pull up the standings. I didn't want to switch ahead, but if you're looking at the video, they're 4-4 in the SEC, 17-4, still good. I mean, they're still like top five in every ranking besides the SEC standings, but they are literally the top team in the bottom half of the SEC. They're tied for ninth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, they're right below Kentucky by half a game. So, you know, again, they were ranked number one for a long time, and I bashed that, and I was like, what have they done? What have they shown? I think we're kind of seeing it now. Yes, they can. It's the hardest SEC there's ever been. It's not that they're a terrible team. They've lost a lot of close games. They got killed by Florida, but they've lost a lot of close games, and that's just how it is in the SEC. That's what makes what Auburn's done so far so ridiculous. And Alabama, if you want to throw them in there, they're 7-1. Should have lost Mississippi State if the guy could just dunk the ball. For some reason, he couldn't. But let me go back to Tennessee. You know, the Tennessee game. Game day's in town, late tip. It was just perfect. And then what happens right as soon as the game over? ESPN switches to the X Games. I know we've got a lot of stuff. I know we got a lot of stuff to show. I know it's cold weather time, and there are people out there. Somebody in Colorado was really excited about the X Games flipping over. But if you got a top five matchup, can we talk about it for a few seconds? That leads into the next point. Why are all the basketball time slots 2 hours apart? Every single game. Not some of them, not 94% of them. 100% of the games go longer than 2 hours. Every single one of them. Every game is, hey, we've started this over on ESPN News. Every single one. They even had the other night, what night? Sunday, I guess it was, or Monday, the golf league thing, which is kind of growing on me a little bit. If you haven't seen, if you don't know what it is, it's like legit golfers, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, or not Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas. Dustin Johnson might be in it. No, he's live. But whatever. It's this indoor simulator golf league, and they've got teams of three or four, and, you know, Tiger's Jupiter, Florida. There's an Atlanta team. There's a Boston team, and they play 18 holes. They do like a scramble, and then the back nine, they play the hole by themselves. Whatever. I'm getting too far in this. But the Duke, whatever game it was, Duke, NC State, had been playing for like 15 minutes, and they were showing the end of the golf thing. Again, you know, people were bashing that it was golf on there, but it happens literally every single game. Make it 2:15. Make it 2.5 hours. They love to have people talk up there. I guess maybe they don't want to pay them to do that. I don't know. But it's not hard. It's not hard. These games are longer than 2 minutes. Or we can cut down on the amount of commercials. Or we could start the game when it says it's going to start. But having to pull up my phone to watch the first 5 minutes of every single game, except for the 6 o'clock game. The 6 o'clock game is usually on time because there's nothing, I guess, SportsCenter's leading into it. But the 7:30, the 8, the whatever. And what's with the deal with ACC playing these 8:30 games? I mean, that was Duke playing the other night, and then Pitt or whoever was playing at 8, North Carolina Pitt last night, was it 9:30 their time? What? I don't get it. But yes, Auburn beats Tennessee, solidifies themselves as, hey, we should have been number one all along. Yes, it was at Neville Arena. We don't go to Tennessee this year, but Auburn had to play Duke at Duke and won't get Duke at home. And they better return that game next year. I know it was part of the ACC, whatever challenge, but you know, the only negative that Auburn has, the only one, is that Duke beat them. Yeah, well, we had to go to Cameron Indoor and play there, and there's no return game. I know in basketball it's different, but yeah, okay, we lost by 6 at Duke. You can't say they're 100% better because they won. Like, I know in football, I've said these things before, in rankings all the time, they'll come out and somebody will beat somebody, and then they'll still be ranked like 3 below them. Now, that's stupid, because if you're that close to be 3 apart, 2 apart, you're dumb. It flipped that. But, you know, a lot of times one game doesn't tell the whole tale of the season. But if you're just going to sit there and go, well, Duke's ahead of them in this because they won the game and that was that. Okay, it was one game on the road. And in basketball, the home court advantage has been proven to be the best in any sport. So you don't get to go, oh, well, if only we could figure out who the best team is. Well, right, Duke lost to Kansas and Kentucky, who are good but mediocre by their standards. Not to mention Duke struggle won against NC State the other night. And I was like, oh, NC State, they must be pretty good. They're going to beat them, or they've got a chance. I looked down, NC State's 9-13. And at home, Duke was struggling. And so was the guy who puked, and so was the girl who passed out, who I assume is okay because they hadn't said anything about it. So, whatever. But after that game, I have gotten way off course here. But after that game, the Duke game, they dropped to number 3 in the KenPom, which was funny because they won and dropped 2 spots. But we'll talk about KenPom in a second. Let's jump to LSU real quick. Auburn beat LSU Wednesday night. It was a very ugly, just like if you're watching on YouTube, Janai's face is very ugly in this picture. Very ugly start, just like the weirdest good thing ever. Auburn started with 6 straight missed shots on the same possession, got every rebound, got 7 rebounds, I think, or 6. It was either 7 missed shots, 6 rebounds, whatever. LSU was already up 2-0 at that point. They go down, I think they score, maybe. Auburn comes back down, misses like 2 or 3 more shots. LSU steals it. Auburn steals it back, has a wide open dunk for Broome, and I guess he was waiting on the guy to foul him. Went up, got blocked, didn't score. And it was 6-0 really fast. And, of course, their 40% full arena was just rocking. By the way, LSU played Texas last night in girls basketball, which was a top 10-5 matchup, whatever. And it was sold out. But for the boys game with the number 1 team in town, it was literally maybe 60-70% full. But anyway, the rest of the game, I saw a lot of people saying Auburn didn't play their best, whatever. No, they didn't play their best, but it was one of the better road games they've had. I mean, Janai seemed to be 100%, probably 90%, and he kind of took over in the second half. Chad Baker-Mazzara finally started hitting some shots again. He had a little 5-minute stretch where he scored like 6, 7, 8 straight points for Auburn. But it wasn't awful. Yeah, they got the lead down to 5 at one point because the guy with the hair down to his butt made 2 or 3 three-pointers. They did not play their best, but this was probably their best road performance. It has a lot to do with the fact that LSU looked awful multiple times with all the turnovers. Again, Auburn's playing tough defense, but tons of turnovers. LSU was airballing and barely hitting the side of the rim, like looking really bad shooting wise, but I don't know. I wasn't as scared in this game as like the Texas game or the South Carolina game or any of those. Yes, Auburn has to play better, but Auburn is good enough to do that and still win basketball games. They don't have to play 100% because their 70% is better than most teams' 100%. And what teams are going to play at 100% all the time? None. So I don't know. We led by 12 at half, but the lead just kept going back and forth between like 10-8, 10-8, 11-8. And I tweeted about this, but the announcers were like, LSU, watch out, here they come. Okay, back to 10. All right, and then they, go back to 8. And it's like, okay, here they come. Here it come back from LSU. Oh, they hit a 3. Like, just chill. That's life is number one. And that's the thing. I almost tweeted during the game. I was like, can we just rank us number 20 again? Like now that we've gotten number 1 for 3 weeks in a row and everybody knows Auburn's the best team and all of that, in my brain, I'm like, if that will just help the officiating, if that will just help the everybody being excited because the lead is down to 8 when it was 14 a second ago, it's just annoying. Like, I get it. It's just, I'm not kidding. I'm not serious, but it's life is number one. But one thing about life is number one that doesn't seem to be adding up for Auburn is, especially in the LSU game, again, we've talked about physical all year. It's like every team gets to say they're physical. Every team Auburn has played, their moniker is physical. So that means they get to slam you into the ground because they're a physical team. And that means it's like, oh, you call them physical. That means they play hard, but they're within the rules. No, they're playing hard and they're punching you in the face. One of their guys literally did punch Chad Baker-Mazar in the chest or in the stomach. I mean, I also tweeted this. I've never seen so many plays where people were having to get up off the floor and there was no whistle and having to continue the play. Just flying all over the place were being thrown and just nothing's called. And anytime, literally anytime Auburn drives the lane, like with a, you know, maybe going up for a tough dunk or going up for a layup, trying to get through two or three guys, every time, I'm not just being the whiny, everybody hates Auburn guy. Every single time they go from the three-point line to the goal, they're going to leave it alone and let the play go. And usually that means the ball gets knocked away or Auburn gets knocked down, and it's just a clean, tough, physical play. But you go down on the other end when we want the comeback to happen, we want the comeback to start, and we're getting barely bumped, and there's an and one. I mean, they had like four or five and ones, or at least got the shot off or got the ball off the backboard, but they got barely touched in the knee. I get it. It's fun to see the number one team lose or whatever. And again, it's going to happen. Auburn is going to lose a game, most likely a road game. They're going to lose a game, and people are going to lose their minds and whatever. But at this point, it's going to take a really bad performance from Auburn to lose a game. Alabama, that game will be close, or it will be tightly contested and all that. But, you know, at this point, it's going to take a bad game. And Auburn's played some bad games, and they've been able to come back and win. Bad by their standards, not bad by LSU standards. But, you know, I don't understand the disparity of the calls. I don't understand the difference in the call, how you call the first half and the second half. Like, just – and, of course, it all gets swept under the rug because you're just a whiny fan that didn't like that a foul was called on their team. But that's not always what it is. Go back and listen to my last two podcasts where I talked a lot more about subconscious officiating, just being happy to hear the crowd cheer for them. It's going to happen. So anyway, Auburn goes 2-0 this week. They were, 7-0 in January? I know we have 1 week off. I don't know, something like that. Number one, 3 weeks in a row. I'll talk about Ole Miss. They go to Ole Miss this weekend. They're ranked number 23. They had a struggle win against Texas, which Texas is not awful, but they're not great. Let's look at the standings real quick. I'll go ahead and pull those up. Texas is 3-5. They're 14-7. Not great, but, you know, not awful. Nobody in the SEC is terrible. South Carolina is 0-8, and they probably should have won five of those games. Arkansas hasn't been awful, but they got one. I mean, they haven't been all. They're not winning, but they're not awful. That's people can't differentiate those things. But Auburn goes to Ole Miss. Always weird to play there. Always one of those games where it seems like they're not good, but they're going to hit every three, and we can't make a layup, which has been a problem. Auburn has struggled to finish dunks and finish layups on the road. I don't know what it is. We'll hit threes. Jani will hit his turnaround jumper bank, but we'll, you know, Chaney Johnson missing dunks, missing layups, not going up strong, which he talked about yesterday, I think, this week, saying he's not going up strong. He hasn't been. He's been trying to get the foul, so he's going to change that. So maybe we'll see something different. But Ole Miss is, again, always one of those scary games. If you look at the standings, Auburn 7-0, Alabama 7-1, Missouri. Before SEC, I was talking about Missouri and LSU probably being the two worst teams. Missouri is 5-2. They're 16-4 overall, but 5-2, hadn't lost a home game. How have they played 15 home games? Guess what? Auburn's played 9. Is that really right? Yes. Auburn is 20 games in and has played 9 home games. Missouri has 20 games in and played 15 home games. I know we played a ton of neutral site games, but ridiculous. I saw some guy talking about how Auburn Purdue was a home game for Auburn. Okay, well then let's call Auburn Houston, which was 2 miles from Houston's campus, a road game. Let's not call that neutral. That's ridiculous. 2 miles, not 2 hours. So again, Auburn's number one, Alabama two, Missouri three, Florida's tied at third with Missouri. Florida barely beat Missouri, and they're 18-2, which is better than Missouri. Not sure why they're listed higher on the standings. Texas A&M, they're kind of just whatever team, as always. Not awful, not great, just whatever. Ole Miss is 5-3. Vandy 4-3, Kentucky 4-3, Tennessee 4-4. So Vandy's higher than both of those. Vandy's ranked. Mississippi State 4-4, should have beat Alabama this week. Couldn't dunk at the end, and then had a steal when they had a chance. Like got stolen the ball, whatever. Georgia's 3-5. Everybody thought they were going to be better. They're not bad. None of these teams are bad. Texas 3-5, Oklahoma 2-5, LSU 1-6, Arkansas 1-6, South Carolina. And again, the closest game Auburn might have had already was South Carolina, who's the last place team. They're the only team in the SEC with an overall losing record of 10-11. And again, that's 8 losses in the SEC out of their 11. They could be 15-6 or whatever. They could have 4 losses. They could be 4-4 easy. They have lost tons of overtime games, tons of late games at the end. Yeah, it's a very, 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 very tough SEC. And again, that just goes to show Auburn's resume, which we'll get to a point I'm going to bring up in a second. Let's look at the AP poll real quick. It'll change, obviously. It may not change. Auburn 1, Duke 2, Iowa State 3. Did they lose again? No, they almost lost and then came back and won. No, they lost to Arizona. Right? Arizona hit was that them? Let me look real fast. Sorry. Arizona hit that 3. Wasn't that them? I can't remember. Yes. Arizona hit I don't know if y'all saw this. Was it like at midnight? Arizona hit a buzzer beater at the end of the game to tie the game. It was from the other side, between the free throw line and the half court line on the other side. Hit a 3-pointer to tie the game literally at the buzzer, and then they won by like 10 or 12. So Iowa State will drop. Alabama will go up. Florida will go up. Houston, they're kind of surging back. Who? Michigan State. They're 17-2, or they were before this week. Who in the world? I mean, they've always been one of those almost blue bloods. You might call them a blue blood, but they haven't been great recently. But 17-2, I guess they've won a bunch. I think they started slow. Tennessee lost, they'll drop. Marquette, I feel like they lost, maybe not. Purdue has worked their way back up. They're 16-5 and number 10 in the AP. That is probably going to be a very strong win, much stronger win for Auburn by the end of the season than it was. And remember, Auburn was winning that game by like 30-35, and then they put in the caboose, the bench caboose, and gave up like 10 straight points. So we only won by like 16, which we're acting like that's bad. But remember, Purdue beat Alabama, just in case y'all didn't know. So, there's our top 10. Looking at the KenPom real quick, here's the stupidity again. So I told you Duke dropped down to 3 when they beat NC State. Yeah, they beat NC State, dropped to 3, and then that was Monday or Tuesday night. And then Auburn went back to number 1, as they should have been. And then Houston destroyed somebody. Who did they beat? I should have been prepared for this. Who did they kill? They killed last week. No. Then they beat Central Florida by 1, who I don't think Central Florida is terrible. And then they beat West Virginia. That's what it was. They beat West Virginia by 14, and they've moved back up to number 1. They're 8th in offense, 1st in defense. Auburn is 1st in offense by a ton and 11th in defense. Again, we gave up 74 points to LSU. That probably didn't help. But if only there's a way. I know this is so stupid. The top 4 are Houston, Auburn, Duke, and Florida, which is interesting. But if there's only there was a way to figure out who the best team was. Didn't Auburn beat Houston? Yes. But, yes, we can now argue, why is Duke below Auburn? Well, Duke blows Auburn because they have 2 losses. Why is Auburn below Houston when Auburn has 1 loss, Houston has 3, and Auburn beat Houston in, again, a de facto home game for Houston, 2 miles from their campus, literally in a stadium that was red. So, whatever. KenPom, As long as you're in the top 15 of everything, you have a good chance of being up there for the national championship. Tennessee's 34th offense, get them out. Alabama's 45th defense, get them out. Kansas, 29th offense, get them out. Gonzaga's 10th, 54 defense, get them out. So Auburn, you know, first in offense, 11 in defense, that's an average of 6. Houston, 8 in offense, first in defense, that's an average of 4.5. There's your difference. But Duke is 6-3. 6 offense, 3 defense. That's an average of 4.5. Doesn't make sense. And Duke plays nobody, and Houston, they play Kansas. That's all we're going after. I was going to talk about Chad Baker-Mazzara for a second. He's KD to 100%. He's a little bit better than KD, I'd say, because he's taller and longer. But they'll have their moments. Chad didn't score a point against Tennessee. I think that's the first time it happened. There was a stretch where he didn't score at all. I think maybe 2 or 3 games. Denver didn't score against Tennessee. That was just a weird game for that to happen and still win. But Chad had a little spurt in LSU where he made a dunk. He had some alley-oops. He hit a 3. But he's – and I love him. He said he wanted to be on the podcast. He's one of those guys that he's going to lay on the ground after he falls down every time for 10 minutes. He, you know, was holding his head against Tennessee, came back with a back brace, and then was back in the game 5 minutes later. Not calling him out, just saying what happened. But he has become one of those guys that knows we're good. And, you know, there was a tiny stretch in the LSU game where they kind of came back. What does Chad do? He goes down there and takes some crazy shot. If a team starts to come back, my thought as a coach, as a player, as a whatever, is I want to be extremely careful and get the absolute best shot we can get to make sure we score and, you know, kill their drive, kill their hope that they're building. But if we come down and just spin around and throw it backwards behind our head and we don't even see the goal, that's just giving them what they want. And he's been doing a lot of that lately. There's been 2 or 3 times. You know, it's this funny thing to get fouled and just throw the ball up in the air. Well, he's been doing it without getting fouled. Like, you got to make sure you secure the foul before you throw the ball up in the air like crazy. Now, again, that may go back to them changing the way they called the game. It might have been a foul the first time he did it, and then he's expecting the foul, and then he's like, well, let me throw the ball up and get 2 shots. So, but I don't know. He can be very, very good and helpful. He had a lot of steals against LSU. Again, he hit a 3 or 2. He got fouled on and made a 3. That was big. He did 2 or 3 alley-oops. He was the assister in the alley-oops and did some good things. But he can't, like, disappear and then just turn into crazy guy because he wants to have fun. Like, we're going to have fun. Auburn's a very good team and has had a lot of fun. But people are going to have a lot more fun if they start to see us throwing the ball out of bounds and hitting the back of the backboard with a shot and all of that just because we're trying to be the Harlem Globetrotters. So that's a thing that has worried me. And I know a lot of people that are a lot less homery than me that have kind of gotten over him, like tired of him, don't, you know, whatever. But he's very good. It's just he's one of those guys that's a little having more fun sometimes than sticking to the plan or trying to get, you know, his shots off and trying to get his points rather than whatever. I mean, there's times you know he is never going to pass. You see him make a shot, the next time he gets the ball, he is not passing the ball at all. Pettiford could say that too, but he's been making a lot more shots. So, I don't know. I hope that does not come back to bite us at some point. We still got a long way to go. We're 19-1. We have what? 7. We got 11 more SEC games. We're not even halfway there. Then you got to play 2 or 3 SEC championship games. Then you got to play 6 national championship games. We're not even close. Not even close. But on top of that, here's my crazy idea that people will hate that I say statement of the day. Everybody in the nation is saying that Auburn's the best team. Everybody. Every metric says it except for this dumb Ken Palm one that for some reason ignores head-to-head, ignores home team, home field, ignores strength of schedule, apparently. Losses, number of losses, number of wins. Except for this dumb Ken Palm that is wrong right now. Auburn everybody says Auburn's the best team in the nation. Everybody says Auburn has the best resume in the nation, which is part of why they say they're the best team in the nation. They have done more this year than teams will do the entire year. Like, if, let's just pick a random team. If Purdue could go on to win the national championship tournament, because that's all it is, they could go on to win the national championship tournament, and they still would have done less than what Auburn's done so far. Already. Auburn has like 11 quad one wins, 12 quad one wins, 7 ranked wins, which is not a big thing because rank is rank. That they could be unranked eventually. But there is nobody other than just the dumb fans that just, you know, a random Florida fan that's going to say, oh, we could beat them. Or Duke fan who ignores their 2 losses and goes, oh, we beat them in the 1 home game you got to play against them. Other than Alabama fans who just can't stomach to say it, everybody is saying Auburn's the best team in the nation. There's people starting to say Cooper Flagg is moving up on Janai, or maybe won it neck and neck because Janai was hurt and didn't play 2 whole games. Again, why is Auburn the best? Because they're out there without the National Player of the Year, they still won those 2 games. Still beat Tennessee. He was not 100%. But anyway, everybody's saying it. Every metric, every person, every bracketologist, everybody. And that's fine. People are always going to name who they think's the national champion or who's the best team. The best team. That's what we're worried about, right, in sports. Who is the best team? That's who the champion is. Should be the champion. Best team. Okay? Again, football's different. You have 11 or 12 games. Auburn's already played 20. Auburn has already played more ranked games and more quad one games and won more quad one games than anybody will the rest of the season. They could end right now and have the most quad one wins, most likely. They could be on the road. They've had more wins. Again, Auburn has had 9 home games out of 20. And we're 19-1. So, why do we need to play the rest of the season? If we know who the best team is, if Auburn's already done more than the rest of the nation can do, if Auburn has already done more than the rest of the nation can do, why do we need to play the rest of the season? Because the tournament is not how you determine the best team. I've already said this. I ranted about this in the first 2 podcasts of the year, talking about the college football playoffs. It's even dumber in basketball. Now, in football, it's a little bit easier because you can say, they didn't win their conference. How can they be the best team in the nation? Well, that's because we got 12 teams, whatever. It's easier to kill. We can't kill the basketball tournament. There's 64, 68 teams. They want to make it 120. Why are we giving teams that are obviously not good a chance to get hot at the end of the year or have some random weird officiating or a random weird buzzer beater or something and beat a team that has proven themselves over the whole course of the year? Why are we giving those chances to a team that doesn't deserve it, has already proven they aren't the best? Why? Because it's fun and you like Thursday, Friday basketball and get to pretend you're working at work. I get it. I love that stuff. I love watching those games. I love it. That first weekend is one of the best things in the world. That first weekend does not do anything to determine the best team in basketball, which is what the whole system of sports is based on. Not a postseason tournament that you should have to do something to get in. That's it. So, again, if Auburn's already done more than the rest of the nation can do, why do we need to continue to play? Yes, I'm seriously saying end the season right now. No, I'm not. But why do we need to continue? Everybody knows who the best team is. Everybody agrees. Every metric agrees. Every resume reader agrees. It's done. Auburn's the best team. Now, let's say Auburn goes to the Final Four and they lose to... let's just pick a team. Kansas. Kansas gets hot. Did Kansas do more than Auburn in 40 games? No. They happened to win 1 game. And in a humongous arena, they might have hit a 3-pointer at the buzzer to beat Auburn. Does that mean Auburn is not the best team in the nation anymore? No. Because if you think so, that means you put 5 seconds of a game over 5 months of basketball. But you like to see it because you're a fan that didn't have anything in the game. You like to see the team with the ranking go down. That's not sports. Your excitement and your fandom do not matter. Sorry, Who's the best team? Auburn. Has anybody done anything that they've done? Not even close. Will anybody do it for the rest of the season? Nope. All right. It's settled. No reason to play anymore. Have fun. Go play your NIT. All right. Baseball season starts in 2 weeks. Auburn's first game, they play Holy Cross, I believe, on Valentine's Day. It's weird because there's guys on the team now that I have watched play locally. I know their dad very well. So it's kind of cool. It's like I've coached a lot of baseball, youth baseball over the last few years, and I didn't coach this guy, but I was coaching right below him. And it's just very cool to see players start to get up there. But baseball is big right now. I heard Butch Thompson speak last night at our high school baseball banquet. He's excited for the season. The banquet, the Diamond Club, or is that what it's called? Yes. They're having their banquet this tomorrow night, Saturday, when you're probably listening to this. There's still tickets if you want to go get to hear the baseball team speak, introduce themselves, get to hear Butch speak. They usually have some pretty cool guest speakers. But baseball season's baseball season. We got to wait and see what we got. You never know. But they should be good. But in terms of the stadium, Plainsman Park, if you look on the screen, if you're watching, there have been a lot of improvements. It looks very different from last year. The first base side, and I'll go ahead and switch ahead. The first base side now has what you're looking at is a rendering from a few years ago, but this is what it looks like. Has suites all down the line, has more seating. I went to a scrimmage months ago while they were building it. It was pretty much done, at least the structure was. And it's definitely going to cast a shadow. Those late afternoon games, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, the ball is going to be going from the pitcher's hand in the sun and hitting you at the plate in a shadow. It is definitely a new structure, a big old structure. What's on the third base side, it's not that at all. It's covered all the way down, with suites lining it, with seats out in front of it. It looks like a minor league stadium more than it already did. But it looks awesome, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to add a lot more seating, a lot more fun. If you've never done the Frank Thomas thing behind the plate, it's not that expensive. They're, especially the early games, you buy a ticket, go buy you a terrace ticket, a terrace ticket where you can sit over there and bring your own cooler in. No alcohol, please. You buy one of those tickets, $5, $10, $15, and then you add, I think it's $30 to some games, maybe $40. So you're still looking at about $50. You get to stand behind the plate. You get to go inside. They have unlimited food. You have to pay for alcohol, but unlimited food. And it's awesome. You can sit in there and watch the game on TV. There's like two bars in there. It's awesome. So we did it for the Tennessee game last year. It was very fun. You're like 20 feet behind the catcher, standing right there. You're on TV the whole game. So they've added that last year. The new seating on the first base side, I don't know how much the suites cost. I hadn't seen anything about it. So I don't know if they're even really going to be open for the first few games, but they're there. The big thing, though, is that I proposed years ago, and no, I'm not trying to take credit. Yes, I am. If you look at the screen, I had a mock-up done of seating on top of the Big Green Monster, which obviously left field wall, it's 315, but the wall is like 30 feet high, 40 feet high. So you got to really crank one to get it out. But at Boston, it's a replica of Boston Red Sox Fenway. They have seating on the top. Now mine's a little bit different. Mine had three rows of seats and all this kind of stuff. And I want to say, when did I say I proposed this? I don't know, years ago. And it's in action now. So if I go back to the original mock-up, you can kind of see it. It's not really going to be seating. It's more of like a standing area with the drink rail. I think it's two levels. So you'll have like a lower level you can stand on, and then a higher level that's got like a big old patio. They'll probably have drink booths up there and food up there. I assume it's going to be ready. I've seen people already up on it. So I assume it's going to be ready for the first game, but we still got 2 weeks. So go to Auburn baseball games. They're extremely fun. Our team's good. The stadium is awesome. It is, it's when you know how it feels. It's February 14th, still gonna be cold. You're gonna have a fake spring in there somewhere where it feels warm, but then it's not, and it'll be freezing for some games. But that's the best feeling in the world when you've been cold all January. It starts to warm up a little bit. You can just go stand out there and eat you some sunflower seeds and slowly watch the game of baseball. It's awesome. One of the best parks in the world. You got the stadium behind you, the football stadium. You got Auburn Arena over there. Go watch baseball. Butch has built a great program over the last 10 years. And the support you put for football, when honestly haven't been that great recently, the support you put for basketball, if you did half of that for baseball, the park would be full. If you did 10% of the football stadium, the park would be full and we'd be awesome. Again, though, just like basketball, just like football, it's the toughest conference in America and toughest to win. So it takes a lot. So anyway, all right. So this weekend, probably while you're hearing this, Auburn plays Ole Miss. Baseball starts in 2 weeks. Softball starts in 1 week. They always start a week ahead. I think they have a little tournament. Not a little tournament, but they have a tournament. But yeah, I think Auburn basketball is said and done. They're the best team in the nation. Let's end the season right now. End the season. Why play if you know the answer? That's it. You go back to football. You play the playoff to answer the unanswerable question. If you have four conference championships, I was listening. I'm just going to go back into this rant. I was listening to some Senior Bowl stuff, and there's a quarterback from Canada, never played American sports. He plays in a Canadian college, and he's supposedly the best quarterback in college for Canada. He's down at the Senior Bowl. He said their championship is all the champions of their conference. They play a Final Four, and that's it. That's what it should be. You won your conference. You have a Final Four. You play two games. Everybody still likes it and doesn't have to wait 3 weeks for the championship. I guess, I don't know. They said the numbers for the national championship game was the third worst ever. I think a lot of it is because it wasn't an SEC team. It's kind of two big, boring Northern teams. I didn't care one bit about it. Ohio State is extremely boring. I don't hate Notre Dame, but I don't think they're the best in the nation, so I don't care. I just didn't care about it. So I don't know how I've just gotten on this rant again, but Canada does it the right way. Four conferences, four champions, play them. If one conference has 16 teams and they're all better than the champion of that other one, who cares? The 15 teams in that conference that didn't win the championship, they weren't the best in their conference. They can't be the best in the nation. So let's answer the unanswerable question and let the champions of those small groups play, and then we will know who the best is. If one team wins by 100, who cares? The playoffs are not for your enjoyment. They're there to figure out the best, not to create a disaster scenario or an upset that you will love to see because you love to watch upsets. They're there to figure out who the best team is. And somehow we have forgotten that because we care so much about the NFL playoffs and how they just throw 800 teams in it and whatever, and we love to talk trash on Twitter and all that. No, I'm here to figure out who the best team is. So let's take it back. Auburn is undoubtedly the best team because they have done more than anybody will do the rest of the nation for the rest of the season. And if they happen to lose one game in March on a neutral site because some team hit a buzzer beater, that doesn't change that. But we're going to call this tournament winner the national champion. Makes no sense. Everybody wants this simple and easy thing. I'm making it simple and easy. Y'all think it's simple and easy. You win the tournament, you're the champion. No, you win the tournament, you might have been the best team if you've done what Auburn has done all season. But if you won the tournament because you got on a little hot streak, but you lost 14 games in the regular season, are you the best? No, you're not. You're not. Anyway, happy Friday. I've got to figure out these podcasts. I do them on Friday, but then by the time most people listen to them, Auburn's already played their next basketball game. So it's like I preview it a little bit, and then it's kind of dead. So I don't know. I do it on Monday. If I do it on Monday, they play again on Wednesday. Should I do two? I don't really want to do two because, like, again, in July, what am I going to talk about? I can't talk about football recruiting and spring and fall practice. I don't know. Anyway, follow me on Twitter, Twitch. I haven't been on Twitch in a while. Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I'm on Threads, but I've never done it ever. And yes, subscribe on YouTube. I'm almost to 1,000. TikTok. Subscribe to me on TikTok. I did a live the other day where I opened a pack of Auburn football cards. It was pretty cool. People liked it, but there was no Auburn fans in there, so they didn't care. So subscribe to me on TikTok. It's all the same. Warbloggle, WARBLOGLE, War Eagle with blog. Not two G's, because Eagle doesn't have two G's in it. All right, I think that's going to be it. I'm just rambling and ranting. This has been episode 21 of the Warbloggle podcast. War Eagle.